Well, certainly the greatest gift that we could ever receive is the gift of salvation given through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And dear brothers and sisters, as we gather here this morning on this wonderful, hopefully quieter day of Thanksgiving and the busyness of all the world, it gives us a little time to reflect and to ponder just how blessed we truly are by our gracious God. And it's in His name that we gather. Amen. Well, I'd like us to go to Philippians chapter 4. And to give a little context, verses 4 through 7 reads, and this would be another great text to read at the Thanksgiving meal, by the way. Another one I suggested was Colossians 1, 12, and 13, where we hear that we are qualified. I think that is so awesome that God says that. And I suggest that on Sunday. But here's another one from Philippians 4, 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But I think of that verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, notice those all-inclusive terms, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it's around that verse that we gather this morning, and the theme that I hold before you is an attitude of gratitude. I like that phrase, an attitude of gratitude. And when you think about attitude, it's more than just a day, right? I mean, maybe we can have a bad day with a bad attitude one day. But generally, when we think about attitude, it's an ongoing characteristic about who we are as individuals. It's about our ongoing way of thinking and our ongoing way of how we feel about things, how we express ourselves. Could even connect, I think, attitude with passion. And looking out over this congregation, I know some of your passions, and if I bring up the topic, boy, we'll be on it. And you know what mine are, because they come out in my preaching a lot of times with illustrations. And boy, it's just natural, isn't it? If you get on a topic that you're really passionate about, that a lot of times you know quite a bit about as well, it's just easy conversation. And I think of attitude that way. It's who we are. It's our makeup hopefully by God's grace. And so an attitude of gratitude. It's kind of like a salesperson. You know, I've always thought, and I could never be a salesman. That's not something I'm very good at. But it always amazes me, like if you go to a car dealership and somebody's just passionate about this certain model of car, and they sell you on the idea and you buy the car, and then you happen to see them leaving and they're leaving with a whole different company car. And it's like, wait a minute, I thought you were passionate about this one. Well, you were to sell it, but it's not really your passion. The one you're driving off the lot is the company and the model of car that you really like. Well, I hope that's not the case with us as Christians. That on the one hand, we put on the front that, oh yeah, I just love Jesus, but then we're somebody totally different otherwise. And certainly today on Thanksgiving Day is a wonderful time for us as Christians to be reminded by God that our lives are not just for a day of Thanksgiving, but our life is a life of thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. And the source, of course, is God. It's His great love for us expressed in the most incredible way by the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. But even as we think of Jesus, and yes, we've got salvation, we've got the greatest gift of all, but the Lord doesn't stop there. He provides for us everything that we need to function as His people. Isn't that wonderful to know? It's hard to believe sometimes, and I think we all falter in that mode once in a while, but it's refreshing to hear God come to us and to say to us, do not be anxious. Now, the Lord doesn't say this like the goofy song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Remember that song? And that's basically what the song was. And you get to the end and it's like, well, that's great, but what's going to get over my worry and what's going to make me happy? You know, there was no substance to that song. Still remember it, though. But when the Lord says, do not be anxious about anything, He provides the means for us to actually live in that mode. You know, God doesn't want us to walk around overburdened with worry or to worry at all. He doesn't want us to wake up each day nervous and afraid. And you know, when you think about it, all these things can be huge distractions. And they certainly can lead us away from that attitude of gratitude. And a lot of times the source of worry and nervousness and fear, those come from the unknowns, the uncertainties in life. And if you go out and just visit with people in our culture right now, people are afraid, they're worried. There's a lot of unknowns out there. You just don't know what could happen. It's like North Korea. Are they going to launch a nuclear missile? You know, you never know. And some people just get totally caught up in fear and worry over those kinds of things. And then the Lord comes to us in very clear words, do not be anxious about anything. It's all inclusive. God says, I've got it covered. And Jesus so lovingly comes to us, His church, in Matthew 6 in those words, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So Jesus affirming to us, you don't have to worry about these things. There's much greater things in life to be focused upon and concerned about than to worry about the basic necessities of life. God affirms to us He's got those things covered. And so He provides in His provisions the means for us to overcome anxiety. But if we're not focused upon Him, if we're distracted by all the anxiety issues, then we're going to live a life of fear and worry, and that's not where God wants us to be. Let me ask you this. What causes you to toss and turn in the middle of the night? You ever find yourself doing that? We all do from time to time. Well, there is a good sign and definition. When you wake up, whatever's causing you to toss and turn, that's a huge distraction in your life. It's one that is really causing worry and nervousness and fear to the extent you can't even sleep. And God doesn't want us to be going down that path. And so He says to us, do not be anxious about anything. And what a relief. And God, this is great. But how? I mean, it's hard not to be anxious. It's hard not to worry. It's hard not to fear. And the Lord provides the answer. But in everything, bless you. But in everything, not just some things, but in everything, and think about that statement from God. But in everything. In other words, there's nothing that's too small and insignificant for God to hear our prayer with regards to. And there is nothing too big at the other end of the scale. God is saying from the little silliest thing by most people's standards, but maybe not to you, the smallest, simplest thing to the just the impossible thing on the other end of the scale, and everything in between, I want you to bring it to me by prayer and supplication. And so there's the source. It's our Almighty God who is the provider. And he promises that and he fulfills it. And he certainly is the provider of all things. I love Jesus in Matthew 6 continuing that dialogue. You know, what does he say? Look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. You know, they're not toiling and laboring. And those are not even close to the value that you are as human beings to me. And yet Jesus says, look how I take care of them. Don't you think I'm going to take care of you then if you are of greater value? You know, the Lord gives us a wonderful illustration of that at home. We have a crabapple tree, and it just gets the kind of the little berry size little apples, and it's just loaded with them. And what's interesting is the birds leave those alone through the fall. They never touch them. But then in January and February, the coldest part of the winter, that's the robin's grocery store. And I've looked out in that tree at times, and there's been over 50 robins in that tree at the grocery store in the cold of winter. And it's like, wow, Jesus, there's a visual of what you promise. Look at the birds of the air. And then you think about, even beyond that, a much greater need is our spiritual needs. And if we really see ourselves as God reveals concerning our sin, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God informs us through his law. We are sinful human beings. But oh, God also, doesn't he, pours out his grace, his forgiveness. And he is always available to us. And it's Jesus who says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Peace. There goes the worry. There goes the fear. There goes the turmoil out the window. And Jesus says, you know, just come to me. I want you to be at peace. And boy, sometimes there's sin that we battle and it churns in our lives and it's a struggle that's ongoing. But we can take the confidence of David. Remember when David, after he had committed adultery, after he had murdered someone, Nathan the prophet comes to him, points out his sin, and David knows that he can go to God, despite how big his sin is. You know, we can never out-sin God's grace. Jesus has covered it all at the cross. It's all covered. But what the Lord desires of you and me is that we acknowledge that we bring that to him. And remember that great prayer of David. It's even in our liturgy from Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do you realize how blessed we are? That we can go to the judge of all judges, the one who knows every detail of the ugliness of our sin, and he says, I want you to come to me. I want you to dump that on me and release it. What a gift. We can just take all that garbage and dump it on the Lord, and Jesus has already carried it to the cross. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And David was restored. Think about the people in your neighborhood, maybe even in your family, as I think of mine, that are just weighed down with sin. And with that sin, weighed down with guilt. And living in a mode of thinking, nobody could love me, especially God. But we know the Lord. And we know that his desire for us is to be freed from that. Could we have a greater gift than that? I mean, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. If we know that we are forgiven and loved by God, there isn't a gift that can outdo that gift. And so through faith, We live with all of these blessings. All of our physical needs provided, all of our spiritual needs provided. God says, I've got it covered. It's okay. Don't be distracted. And so we have then, as a gift, an attitude of gratitude. I think of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's who we are because the Spirit dwells within us as believers. Think how refreshing this attitude is in the midst of the times in which you and I live. What a blessing to unbelievers around us to be able to share these fruit of the Spirit with them by our attitude. And they're going to think, well, how can you be that way in the context of the times we're living? Well, let me tell you about the source. In all of this, really, if you ever thought about it, really comes down to security. We are absolutely secure. Have you ever thought about that? 100%. There is no circumstance, there is no unknown, there is no uncertainty that can take away the security of God's love and His presence with us. Even when we are dying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Our lives are secure. I was sharing with Letha and Kathy before worship, we were talking about kitties. Are you thankful for your pets that God provides? Boy, those four-legged creatures are pretty special. But we have Snuggles, had him for 15 years now. And I remember when Lindy brought him home, I thought, what was she thinking? It was just this little tiny ball of fur that it could fit in my hand and these two little beady eyes looking through it. And the eyes were fluttering. I've never seen an animal's eyes just flutter. In fact, it was so bad, I thought we were going to take Snuggles to the veterinarian. And he was just totally terrified. Alvia would say, well, consider the one holding him. But he was terrified. And he was that way for several weeks. In fact, the first day he ran and hid. We couldn't find him. We thought he had gotten out, that he was gone. But you know, 15 years later, Snuggles has had diabetes for 7 years. The veterinarians told us he wouldn't live for more than 2 years once he was diagnosed. But you know what keeps Snuggles going? He knows that he's loved. And in that love, he knows that his life is 100% secure. Animals know that in the way that we reach out to them. And they know God, most of all, provides for them. He is their creator. Well, we are much greater than they. And the Lord doesn't want us to be distracted, but to have this attitude of gratitude. And then notice, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That in everything, we would be thankful. When you think it's hard to do, just look at the cross. And that'll break down whatever walls may be distracting you. God's love is unconditional, dear friends. It's unchanging. It is everlasting. And I think of the love that we can have for our creatures, our animals, and the way that we provide for them is just kind of an illustration of the way that God loves and provides for us on a much greater level. And so, here we are. I hope we're not like the salesperson, putting on the front like, oh, this is the greatest of greatest things, and then when nobody's around, we go into a whole nother mode. But brothers and sisters in Christ, by God's grace, may we be in our lives an attitude of gratitude. And may we then be a blessing to others who desire to have that. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus and never distracted by fear or worry or uncertainty. Amen.